After these messages, we'll be right back.
Yes, 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 indeed. Hello, everyone. How are you doing? Welcome back to the Heine House Gaming and Tech Podcast. It is so good to see you. Thank you for spending your morning, evening, night with me. Appreciate that. Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Jason. We're going to be talking about gaming, tech. We're going to be talking about some stuff that's been happening this week in the news, related to as such, and whatever else happens in between. It's going to be a lot of fun. Talk about all that stuff. Then we're going to be going through some of your questions. We have some voicemails at the end of the show. And then I'm going to wrap up the show by playing you one of my original songs. This is exciting because this is going to be the very first time I'm going to be playing something that I wrote last night. Yes, I've broken down the wall here. I am pushing forward and playing stuff that I just recently composed. Pretty cool. I usually sit there and spend about a year fucking with it before I let anyone hear it. Not this time. We're turning a corner here. Big shout out to all the patrons right here. Round of applause for you. Where's my soundboard? Thank you. Thank you. This podcast is completely 100% funded and supported by your support on Patreon. Patreon.com/Jason Heine. That's where you go. Hey, if you have a little giggle, maybe a little tickle in your tummy, maybe you have a little tickle in your nose, right about ready to sneeze, but then you don't. And you're like, oh, awesome. And you feel good about that. It has absolutely no resemblance to my Patreon. I'm just making shit up. But join at patreon.com/Jason Heine and take part. I will say, actually, I have great news for patrons, all the patrons. That after party was filmed today, right before I sat down here to do this. Oh, yeah, the after party. It's happening. Hey, better late than never, okay? You know, lay off me. I'm starving. Better late than never. But the after party, which is the exclusive show that only patrons get from the main floor and above, you can get that. And it happened to be, I talked about this before, the show that I filmed today happened to be 40 minutes with me with a GoPro attached to my chest. And I'm filming myself going through my Wii. I have a box of Wii stuff. And it's basically a collection kind of overview. It has spare parts directly from Nintendo with Nintendo part numbers, boxes, all kinds of stuff. Wrist straps, spare parts. There's even some crazy surprises in there that I forgot were in there. Really, really cool stuff. Do not miss that, patrons. Go check it out. By the time you hear this, it will be live. And if you're not a patron, please go join and take part. Would love to have you. And I appreciate the support, folks. HeineHouse.com. is the website. Let's jump right in and have some fun. We got some random news. Steph made a post about this to me last week, but Nine Inch Nails, Mr. Reznor himself, Mr. Trent Reznor, has posted an album absolutely free on his website, ninn.com. That's the website, Nine Inch Nails. And I did go download it. I haven't listened to it yet, but I'm excited to. I love his work, and he has contributed lots to the music world. So good stuff. Go check that out. Just want to let you guys know, new Nine Inch Nails. He's, again, like most of us, not all of us, but most of us were, you know, either locked down, we're quarantined, we're here, we're at home, we're in our, doing our thing. And so he's like, let's make some music and release it. That's so wonderful. So really cool stuff there. Also, now you guys know, I don't like to report on rumors. And I try not to. And if I do talk about a rumor, I clearly say this is a rumor. Could be completely BS. It could, you don't know. All right. So that's why I try not to report. But sometimes a lot of things happen and people talk about it so much that I want to at least bring it up and just throw it out there. Because how many times have we like talked about like a rumor or something that's happening and then not too long after it happens? It's almost like it's like game releases or whatever. They're like, oh, The game title, it leaked, and then the next day we get the trailer, right? That happens all the time. So who knows what might happen here? Like, maybe tomorrow we'll get this Nintendo game. Anyway, the rumor on the street, word on the street. And I saw this in a bathroom stall. You know, every time I go into the bathroom stall, I sit there and I look to my left, and it just says, you know, for a good time, play this new Mario All-Stars HD remake game. And I'm like, no, bruh, this is not.
What?
This is not.
Get some help.
What I'm thinking. But it might be. You never know. Rumor is that Nintendo is thinking that the Mario franchise may be a bit stale. They maybe want to, you know, spice it up a little bit, put a little this, a little bit of that, a little, you know, a little seasoning salt, a little garlic pepper, a little something there. I mean, how many times can they really put new in front of the Mario name? Newest Super Mario, Wii U for Switch. It could, hey, don't put it past them. They've done weird stuff. Anyway, rumor is that they're doing like a Mario All-Stars, kind of like HD remake with what? Mario 64, Mario Teaches Typing, I'm guessing. Maybe some of those Philips CDI games that everyone loved. Maybe some FMV Mario. Why don't I just bring back Mario, the TV show? It's the brothers. They could do that. Could be fun. Yeah. Rumor has it. Have you heard that? I know you've heard that. What do you think? What's going on there? Been going super hard in the yard with Twitch live streaming. Obviously, I'm here doing my quarantine, you know, trying to be safe. So I've been working really hard doing streaming, obviously keeping this podcast going and doing just entertainment, man. We're going in. In fact, today or tonight, I'm got big news. This is big news. I'm going to work on a schedule and I'm going to put together my entertainment schedule. By gosh golly. Yeah. Whoop, whoop, whoop. Yeah, it'll be cool. And then you guys will have more of an idea of, on a weekly basis, what my schedule look like. And it's going to be great because it's going to be like podcast Sundays. You know, we're going to be doing this is Sunday. And then, you know, we're going to be doing, you know, studio session Saturday or sim rig Saturday might be in there. There's a lot of cool stuff. Workflow Wednesday maybe in the studio. You know, we'll be doing some stuff. Free play Friday. We'll play random retro games. Oh, I don't know. Could be fun. Look, if you're not hanging out with us on Twitch, get your ass in there. Twitch.tv/TheHeinyHouse. You guys know where to go. But I've been going pretty hard in the yard about it. So really, really, really love it. Let's move on to some gaming news. Talk about some gaming stuff. Some stuff in the legal battles. I try to, you know, there may be like one or two legal stuff that comes up because there's a lot that's happening in the legal department as far as why is it always, well, I guess this one isn't Nintendo, but this one's Atari, but Nintendo always seems to be a reoccurring legal battle somewhere in there. We do have some stuff later about Nintendo. But anyway, Xbox co-creator sues Atari over non-payment for the Atari VCS design. You guys remember this a few years ago? Atari was like, we're bringing out the VCS, and it looked like a 2600, like wood grain, kind of like paneling. And it looked kind of futuristic, sort of squarish, maybe more rectangle looking console, kind of looked cool. And then what happened to it? Well, nothing has happened. And that's kind of the issue, is that we haven't seen it and they keep pushing it back. And now today they say, oh, well, because of coronavirus and stuff and you know, I hate to say that they're kind of using that as a scapegoat. I think everyone should be safe, of course. And this does affect, COVID-19 has affected a lot, right? And there's stuff even, what was it? Naughty Dog or Bethesda? Somebody, I have some news later on about some games being delayed. And they're blaming it on this crazy world that we're living in. And I think that's right. I think being safe is smart. But also, if you were already behind on your payments and you're already behind the eight ball and then you put blame on this, that's kind of a low blow, I think. Anyway, so what's happening? So Mr. Wyatt, he's a co-creator of Xbox and co-founder of The Last Game Board. He has said in an interview last year that he quit as the lead architect for Atari. So he alleged that Atari did not pay his company, which his company is Tin Giant, for 6 months of work. He was a designer of the Atari VCS. So the company filed a lawsuit, federal court in Colorado, alleging a breach of contract. Tin Giant said that Atari owes an excess of $261,000. Yeah, so you remember this console from a few years ago? So evidently, Mr. Wyatt designed it, put the time in, put 6 months of work in, came out, submitted papers. I read the whole article. I just tried to abbreviate it. Submitted papers to Atari to pay him for his time. They did not. They didn't respond. Atari then claimed that, hey, he actually did not fulfill his contract. He didn't do what he was supposed to do. And, you know, and then he said, they said some shit about his company. And he's like, you're saying bad stuff about our company, which is untrue. And so he's suing for that. And it's like, wow. So what really happened? Who knows? I mean, they're going to go to court over it and hopefully they can settle. But that's crazy. Well, all I know is that we don't have the VCS even today. So very fascinating. Wonder how that will play out. And to be honest, like, do you remember that? God, what was the VCS? It was a console that played, it played Atari games, right? I mean, or no, that was the one, it connected to the internet, didn't it? It had Wi-Fi, had Ethernet. I remember it had a bunch of stuff. I remember seeing, I remember this. It was a couple of years ago, but I mean, are you even interested in that? Who knows? Speaking of other game developers and companies, Microsoft and Nintendo, Phil Spencer, head of Xbox, more or less kind of shuts down the whole rumor of Microsoft games being on Switch. Now, we know that Microsoft and Nintendo, they have had a great relationship. And even recently, I've reported a couple months ago, I was reporting about Phil Spencer talking about, hey, we love Nintendo. We appreciate them. We're not really concerned about what they're doing. We're doing our own thing over here. They're great. We're great. Everything's fine. He said that in the past, and we know that's true. People have been like speculating, are Microsoft games going to be cross-pollinated into Switch? And the only reason why people are saying that is because Microsoft and Nintendo have sort of cross-branded themselves in games in the past. So it's okay for people to kind of think that. You know, 25 years ago, if you were to tell me, and this crazy has come full circle, but if you were to have told me, oh, we'd be playing Sonic the Hedgehog on a Nintendo console, I'd tell you, you know, bury your head in the sand. It's impossible. That's not going to happen. There's no way. But here we are. And we are. And my head is in the sand. It's crazy. But there's, of course, there's always been these rumors because last year, some of Rare's iconic mascots, including like Banjo-Kazooie, debuted in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. If you guys remember that. Along with that, also the release of that run-and-gun platformer Cuphead, the incredibly brutal, difficult, but amazingly beautiful animated run-and-gun shooter that was cross-pollinated along with Ori. So there's definitely some games that have kind of crossed over. So people are thinking, oh, what's going to happen? So Phil Spencer said this. I think he said it to IGN in an interview. Actually, yeah, IGN on their podcast. They had a podcast. Phil Spencer says this, quote, I think more and more about what does a full Xbox experience mean on different platforms? Right now, it seems like when any game comes out, there's that, is this one going to be here? Is this one going to be there? I definitely have a ton of respect for the role that Nintendo plays, and I love having great games on their platform. I don't really love the idea that for every one of our games, there becomes this little rumor on, is it going to end up on Switch or not? I feel like we should set a better expectation with our fans than that. Okay. So basically shut that down. He basically closed the door on that. So there you go, folks. Rumor closed. Will it happen in the future? Who knows? It might. But for right now, you can really tell Microsoft is very much focused on Series X. You know, they want to push that brand. And I think that's something that they've always done. They've really, really done that. Even from the very early days in the early 2000s, when they were talking about Xbox, the original Xbox, you know, when they were pushing that. And then when 360 came out, they were taking games away from their counterpart on PC. They were taking games away from the cash cow, the PC, and pulling them and putting them on the 360 exclusively, removing any support for PC. Microsoft is more or less Windows, right? Windows was their bread and butter. I mean, it's not anymore, guaranteed. But I'm just saying, at that time, it was. And so they've always been ones to push their first party on their consoles, for sure. So I think that's great. It's good to hear. At least, you know, shut down some of the rumors, right? I'm sure you guys have heard about this. The Last of Us 2 is delayed indefinitely. The game, which had previously been scheduled for May 29th to be released, it's nearly done and ready to go, a Naughty Dog developer told Kotaku this afternoon. They say this was a decision made for logistical and economic reasons. We're talking about COVID here, folks. They say, quote, "The good news is we're nearly done with development with The Last of Us Part 2," Naughty Dog said in a statement this afternoon. "However, even with us finishing the game, we are faced with the reality that due to logistics beyond our control, we could launch The Last of Us Part 2. We could not launch The Last of Us Part 2 to our satisfaction. We want to make sure that everyone gets to play The Last of Us Part 2 around the same time, ensuring that we're doing everything possible to preserve the best experience for everyone. This meant delaying the game until such a time where we can solve these logistic issues." I think that is a fantastic paragraph on why it's delayed. Now, wow, everywhere I'm reading on this, people are up in arms about it. They're like unbelievably pissed. Let me try to just calm everyone for a second and let me just explain why this is totally fine and everything's cool and you're going to get the game when it comes out. All right, everything's cool. Let me just break this down. Why is this okay? It's okay because, one, the game's almost done. Okay, it could go Star Fox 2. Okay, I'll give you that. I know that's what you just said to your speakers. Okay, it could do that. Doubtful. They're delaying it for logistics and economical reasons. Logistics, their staff is home. They don't have the people there working on it. They're not going to do the work from home thing. Maybe some of them are, maybe some of them aren't. Logistically, they don't have the people to ship the packages, maybe manufacture. There's a lot of logistical things in there that are playing a role. It makes complete sense. There's no one there. They're not going to be able to make it. Two, economic, they're talking about COVID. That's all. Once we get this under control and we can move forward with our lives, they'll go back in business and everything will be fine. So again, folks, please just relax a little bit. It's going to be okay. The game is coming out. There's no reason. Last of Us is huge. There's no reason that they'd shelve it. Why would they shelve it? They're not. They're just taking a break. They need to, right? Makes sense. Everything will be fine. Just totally fine. What's going on with GameVice? We talked about GameVice before. This is that company that made the little handheld that looks kind of like a Switch. Remember we talked about that maybe two episodes or last episode? Well, so last month, and I reported on this too, that Nintendo did win this lengthy legal battle against the manufacturer, GameVice. GameVice was accusing Nintendo in Japan of violating its patent on the combination computing device and game controller. That's the actual patent. Combination computing device and game controller. That's even though it sounds technical and geeky, it's kind of broad, isn't it? It's kind of broad. With a, quote, flexible bridge section. Okay, that's more specific. Flexible bridge section. At the time, it was thought that to be game over for GameVice, they were going to win. They thought they were going to win this. But they went and filed a new patent. I feel like why are they just going back at Nintendo for this? You're not going to win. You're not going to win against Nintendo. It's just, that's just reality. I mean, I'm going to show you a picture of this in here in a minute. They're claiming Nintendo infringed a patent that it issued in August for a game controller. And now, once again, is asking the U.S. to block all imports of the Switch.
Is that the reason why there's a Switch shortage?
I got to show you a picture of this. What? I'll show you a picture of this thing. Okay. So you put your phone in it. And there it is. It's got two joysticks, a D-pad, and four buttons. I mean, let's be real. If you're wanting to go after Nintendo, if you're wanting to sue them, you're basically just saying that you'd rather be out of business. You're telling your company you'd rather be out of business. I mean, that's crazy. You better go back to 1985 and fight the patent on the D-pad with them then too. Because to my knowledge, I think they were one of the first, if not the first, to come out with a proper D-pad. Maybe not. Maybe. I don't know. But I mean, everyone's got a D-pad now, right? But this crazy talk. Give it a rest. Give it a rest. I wouldn't take on Nintendo. And you know what? Unless they really did file the patent before Nintendo and do own that. But I feel like they're just trying to get a little cash cow going on there. It's kind of weird. Stop it. Get some help.
Stop it. Get some help.
I wanted to make a mention too. Can we just please delete April Fool's Day? Can we just please delete it? Don't like it. Don't care for it. All right. Basically, every year, and it gets worse and worse. Every year, here's how my April 1st goes. I wake up. I get out of bed. All right. I sit there for a second, stretch out, taking a deep breath of air and realize it's going to be a good day. We're going to have a great day. I woke up today. It's good. It's a good day. I walk outside. I make a cup of coffee, grab my cup of coffee, you know, feeling good, walk over, sit down in front of the computer, you know, fire up, open a browser, instantly get trolled, instantly get pranked, instantly have some bullshit going on. I go up and I click the X, close the browser, Windows shut down, close the computer, and I just go and stare at the window for 16 hours. It's just a day that's messed up. Like, why? I don't know. It's crazy. I wish we could just delete this day. Because there's so many fake articles. I remember last year I said this too. Fake articles I get excited about. I'm like, oh, I really want that. That'd be amazing. And the Steph's just saying, it shows how off-touch these companies are. The shit that they're, like, joking and pranking, the community's like, yes, do it. Oh, my God, I love it. There was one on Minecraft where you throw a book into, like, a fucking fountain or something. It takes you to this other, like, lost world that looks all different. People are like, oh, it's amazing. Please bring it. And they're like, yeah, it's just for today. Yeah, yeah, just for today. Enjoy it while it's there. But we're going to go back to some other stuff. So, yeah, let's just delete April Fool's Day. I don't even like it. Who wants to be pranked all day long? I don't. I made a quick mention of this. I really don't even need to mention this. The Switch is sold out everywhere. Everyone knows this. In fact, the homie Glav has been trying to get a Switch, and he keeps reporting to let us know what's going on. He's ordered it from a few places online and then got his orders canceled. Five of them? Five of them. Because they're unable to fulfill his orders. Yeah. I mean, it makes sense, right? And I went and looked it up just real quick before recording this to see, like, what the... Because people are saying, oh, the third party, the resellers, da-da-da-da-da. It's, like, skyrocketing. The cheapest Switch I found was $500. That was tonight. And, man, it's just crazy. You remember when I reported last month you could go buy a Switch for $40 off? What was it, like, $240 or something? Yeah, on Nintendo's website or their eBay store. Well, don't worry, folks. We'll get back to those days. They're still taking in broken Joy-Cons, all right? Don't worry. Everything will be fine. Well, which, by the way, yeah, that's fucked. By the way, our Joy-Cons just started adrift. We're playing Animal Droppings. We don't even play with the Joy-Con. We play with the Pro Controller or the Hori USB controller. Okay, we've owned the Switch how long? When did we buy it? A year, 2 years ago? Year and a half ago? 2 years. Let's just say 2 years. Even that, okay? 2 years. We've owned the Switch 2 years. How often have we really used the Joy-Con? Not very often. Let's be real. We use the Pro Controller and the Hori USB controller and the Power A ones. We used the Yoshi one and the Zelda one before that. We really haven't used the Joy-Con that much. I would say we're talking about literal hours you can count on two hands, maybe total, to be honest. And it's already fucking drifting. It just started drifting on Animal Crossing because we tried to play two player when we got the game and we tried it with a Joy-Con. And all of a sudden I walk in and then here I go. Here I go.
You start walking up the screen.
I just start walking up the screen. I'm like, are you kidding me? Look, reality is they have serious issues with their Joy-Con controller. Serious issues. I really hope they can get that under control. So, yeah, we're going to have to send a message in. Yeah, send them in. Get them repaired. I just did a video for patrons on the Wii box. I showed my shipping box that Nintendo sent me back when they replaced my Wii and they fixed everything and how nice they were. And it was great. So, you know, and they've, you know, once they got called out, they were like, oh, we'll fix them for free. No problem. So they'll probably take care of you now. Hit them up. Man, are we jumping back and forth with like Atari, Nintendo? This is all this section is. Atari is bringing Crypto Casino. What?
Get some help.
Crypto Casino. It's a real thing. That was a joke. That was a joke when I first heard it. I wrote down the paragraph that they say on their website. Look this up. It's real, folks. It says, our dedicated Atari Casino team aims to provide our users with the best online casino experience to date. With a collection of all the best Atari games, along with the most popular classic casino games, Atari Casino represents the perfect place to lay back, have fun, and win big. The stakes are adjustable for each player so you can always find a table and a game that's right for you. With great fun comes great and valuable prizes. With plenty to enjoy, I feel like a salesperson, visit the Atari Casino today and enjoy the fun and rewards it has to offer. They are bringing blackjack, card games, slots, live casino, they're calling it, and Atari Special Live Gaming, where you go into a casino with real people and bet against real people. And you use cryptocurrency. Here's the catch. You use crypto. And there's no regulation on crypto. So you know how in most, at least in the United States, most states do not allow you to gamble virtually on the internet. Some states do. You may be in a state that does. Most don't. This is a loophole around that. It uses cryptocurrency. So you just go buy crypto, have it in your account, and then use it in this casino. Let me just say something. This will be extremely successful for Atari. I think this will probably be the most successful thing Atari may have ever done and or will do in modern day. I'm calling it right now. Why? Because I know people love to gamble. First of all, go to any casino, even just go walk through any casino. People love to gamble. Here's the thing, though. I may be like doing a little broad generalization here a bit. But when you walk through a casino, usually you see the elderly in there, all right? Most of the time, at least this is just from my eyes, I see mostly the elderly are in there or elders are in there gambling. I don't really see a lot of youngsters in there, you know? I don't see a lot of, you know, 20-something shakers and movers hanging out, you know what I mean? And maybe that's just because maybe our casinos, and look, first of all, I don't gamble, one, all right? Because gambling is, well, in my opinion, it's a losing game. The odds are not in your favor. It's not. The rules are not set that way. Why do you think casinos are so successful and they're loaded? I mean, duh, okay? Makes sense. So, but this cryptocurrency thing, in order for you to gamble, use crypto, and that's insane. I don't think the elderly understand what crypto is. And if they do, do you think they'd really be doing that online? And maybe. I don't know. I don't know. I'm thinking no. So maybe they're trying to market it towards a different demographic, which could. So, yeah, I just said they're going to be the most successful doing this. But then also I'm saying, but for what target audience? You know, what's the market here? Yeah, I mean, go ask your grandma right now if she has a crypto bank account. She'll be like, what? Oh, I used to watch Tales from the Crypt. Yeah, it's a great show. I used to watch that, Sonny. Interesting stuff. They have a landing page there now. So interesting stuff. You may want to check that out. How about a little tech news, folks? Yeah. Our good friends over at Sennheiser are working on a smartphone mic that will work at range. And what I mean by range is not like distance you are to the microphone, like a shotgun or something. I mean at range, like you wear it and it connects to your phone and it records up to 4 hours on you. And then when you get close to it, to your phone, it syncs. It's connected via Bluetooth. Let me talk about it. It's basically a lavalier mic. And it's used as an external microphone or input source. So you can use it while recording a video from your smartphone, maybe a DSLR, maybe a camera, something of that nature. And you can record audio into it, which is really nice. It puts it really close to you. It's like a lav mic. Now, this is the common issue with smartphones. When you use a smartphone to record something, and we all know this on all of our smartphones, the audio is only as good as how close you are to the device. When I'm doing this, you know, when I'm taking my selfies and I'm right here filming and I'm talking, I'm doing something, I got the music going, it's pretty good here, right here. But if it's across the room or even 5 or 10 feet, it's like, it's not that great. Audio is not that great. And we all know that. Same thing with cameras. It's just the way it is. Unless you have a shotgun mic, that's very specific for that. And not a lot of people have a shotgun mic that they're rolling around connecting it to their smartphone or DSLR. Some people are, but not most. So this kind of fits a really cool market here. I like this. So what it does is it attaches to your shirt, the lav. You connect it to your phone. Let's just take phone, for instance. Use it for that. You connect it to your phone via Bluetooth. It's connected. Sennheiser says, hey, don't worry about how far away you are from your phone. If it disconnects from the Bluetooth, if you're too far away, no big deal. It's actively recording real time everything that you're doing. So if you are, like, say you're filming, this is actually really, really smart. So think of like run and gun shooters. So someone who's like running and gunning and they're filming someone, maybe action, or they run really far away and they come back, they run out, they're doing their scene or something like that, or they come back and then they get close to the camera again to talk. When they get close enough to the camera, it syncs back up via Bluetooth and transfers all the audio back into that file. What? That's legit. That is really, really legit. I like that a lot. So I think that's really cool. I have a picture of it here. I'll show you. And I really, if you are interested in this, you should go to their website and look this up, because they have a video showing a lady cooking. And she has her camera up and she's cooking and doing this and walking around the kitchen. Totally makes sense. It makes complete sense. I think it's great. And Sennheiser, been using their products even before I was born. My dad had a whole bunch of Sennheiser stuff, microphones, headphones, HD414, shout out to you, big orange earmuffs. Oh, yeah. But yeah, check it out. I kind of want one. They retail at $200, which $200 is no, you know, it's no cheap thing. But also, I think for value, I think it's worth it. I think it's a hell of a deal for what you get, especially if you're looking for good, clean audio. Sennheiser is going to provide it. Good stuff right there. What's it called? Did I just say what it was called? I don't even know what it's called. Oh, it's called the shit. Where was it? The Sennheiser memory mic. There it is. The memory mic. I know I wrote it in there somewhere. HBO Now is opening up its streaming doors with some of its programming for free for a limited time during probably the next 2 months. I think they put on there the next April 3rd. April 3rd. So yeah, check it out. They're going to be giving 500 hours of programming for free to anyone out there who wants to access HBO Go without a subscription. You just need an account, but no subscription is needed. Starting Friday, April 3rd. That is a few days ago as of recording this. And shows are going to be including, and not limited to, but The Sopranos, The Wire, movies like Pokemon Detective Pikachu and Crazy Stupid Love, including a bunch of others. So go check it out. Hey, it's great. If you don't have any streaming video service and you want to watch some stuff, even just Sopranos by itself, that alone is a great show. So HBO Now, opening the door. It's available now. My God. Oh, I forgot to put the pictures in here. Shit, I forgot to put the pictures in here to show everyone. Damn. Of the sim rig that dude made out of his Mini Cooper. I forgot to put, you know, I'm going to pause the podcast. It's that big of a deal. This dude bought a broken down, a blown motor Mini Cooper. He cut up the Mini Cooper into 7 pieces, all right, dismantled the car, moved it to his basement, and built a real sim rig, racing sim rig, inside the Mini Cooper. He put a flat screen TV for the windshield. He has the wheel in there, the pedals, the shifter. It's in the car. He's sitting in a real Mini Cooper in his basement playing sim racing. All right, this is my new project for when I'm, well, I don't even have to be rich. I was going to say when I'm rich. He bought the car for $2,000, sold all the parts off of it, the blown motor, the transmission that worked, and he made his money back. So we got the car basically for free. I'm pausing the podcast. I'm going to go to my other computer and I'm going to upload the photos to this so that I can show you guys. You have to see this. I'll be right back. And just like that, I'm back. It's magic. I love being able to pause this podcast and do shit like that. I also took the opportunity to turn my brightness up on the camera because the sun has set. So I need a little more brightness in here. And now I don't look so sunburned. Okay. So no. Here's how it really went down. So I got it wrong. They asked for $2,000 for this busted blown motor Mini. Dude went in, offered them $1,000. They accepted the $1,000 offer. He brought it home. He paid a guy with soda and beer and water at his house in his garage. Another guy came over, pulled out the engine, the transmission, and he sold it to the guy for $1,000. So he made his $1,000 back. He got a free car. He got that free car for the project. Brent Cheerney, he always wanted to build a racing simulator, it says here. After pricing the seats, frames, and everything else that goes along with it, he figured it would be just as easy, not easy. It would be better to just bring a car into the house. Of course. Hey, if you're going to do it, just bring a whole fucking car into the house. Why not? Sounds good. Steph, I'm going to do it. She's like, I'm surprised you haven't done that. I want to do that. I was actually looking up dashboards like a couple months ago. Like just like dashes, like cut one in half, maybe set it on there. It's not going to work. Yeah. To be honest, man, I would love to get a busted ass like Civic or something and then just put the sim rig in there. It'd be amazing. Oh my gosh. Who wants to do that with me? Like real shit. Who wants to do that someday? Like let's work that out. Let's get a car. You get a cheap Civic or something, you know, cheap little mini sports car or something, a little Integra or something. I would love it. I would love it. So anyway, what he did. So he started looking at cars. He found this Mini. They wanted $2,000. He offered $1,000. They accepted the offer. He brought it home on a trailer, paid a guy $1,000, or a guy paid him $1,000 for the motor and transmission. He made his money back and he's just started to work on this Mini Cooper. Now he needed to cut up the car into 7 pieces to get it into his house, down the stairs, around the corners, into his basement. But he did. He laid it out and there is a car in his basement with a sim rig in it. And I got to say, that's super smart. He basically got a free car for this project, and that's insane. Now, of course, the parts that he bought, he's got Fanatec and a bunch of other great parts that are in the car, wheels and pedals and stuff. Those are very expensive, plus the gaming PC that's in it, but still amazing. Here are the pictures. I got to show you guys this stuff. Look at this. Take a look. Look at it. It's a freaking Mini Cooper in the house with a cute doggo there, too. Guy's racing shoes right there. Look at that. What a cool basement. I almost called it a garage. There's the under the hood is the gaming PC, custom built. All right, there it is. Here's kind of an interior shot from the side. See the flat screen that's up there? Got the keyboard in there. Oh, look at that. That's the shot right there. That's it. Look at that. Oh, yeah. Amazing. Amazing. He also said that he put in theater surround sound. He's got 8 speakers in there. in the doors and surround above and behind. Also has a subwoofer in the trunk. Great place for it. There's a shot of him actually cutting up the car, disassembling. Look at that. Isn't that cool? And I found it interesting. Look, the license plate, Oregon. This is where I'm from. Shout out. This is cool. I would love to do this. Would love to. And to be honest, folks, I mean, cutting up the car is not necessary if you want to put it in like a garage or something. You know, we don't need to cut it up. And even still, if you're going to cut it up, maybe just cut off like the back end of it. You know, you don't need to cut up like the whole thing into seven pieces like he did. He had a very specific thing he wanted to do with it. So that makes sense. But man, I mean, just let's gut it. Pull the engine, pull everything out, get rid of all the fluids, everything, and just run it all the electrics. You know what I mean? We could do it. Really, really cool. What an amazing thing. Some other news in this section here. Twitch has introduced some serious ban hammers, which is really, ban hammers for creators and streamers. So now we have more access to and what we can do to fight the trolls and the people coming in, talking shit, being rude. First and foremost, here's a couple of additions if you're a streamer. Here's some things to take note from this. First and foremost, if a viewer gets banned from your chat, they are not just blocked by making comments anymore. They now no longer can see your chat, and they also will no longer appear in follower or chat lists, meaning they can't continue to quietly make their presence known and potentially cause more streamers discomfort. Now, here's the big news. Now, they didn't mention this. They did an interview recently. I'm bad about it. I need to write and credit who sent this through because I thought this was really, really great, and I'm glad they talked about it. But additionally, accounts created by the banned user are now immediately shadow banned. This is huge. Shadow banning is fantastic. Absolutely. What is that, you mean? It's based on their IP address. So this means that even if they go in and log out and log back in with another account, that account also is banned. It's attached to their IP address. It's going to be banned. So not only that is when they come back in, it will appear as if they are back in and chatting, but nobody will be able to see their chat. It's completely ghosted, completely shadowed. So they'll log into the other account like, fuck him. I'm going to go back in and troll him and talk shit and be stupid. They're going to come in, log back in. They're going to see everything. They're going to see the chat. They're going to see me streaming. And they're going to get in chat and just start going to town. Only they can see it. Nobody else can see it, which is great. So they think that they're actually still in there. I think it's awesome. It's awesome. They've also made mods more convenient. So yesterday they rolled out Mod View, which I used for the very first time yesterday during my stream. And it's great. I love Mod View. It kind of gives you more ability. Like you can click on someone's name. You click on their name and it shows all the things they've said, all the context. You can time out, you can ban, you can do all kinds of stuff. You can moderate that person. It's very direct and very deliberate. And I love it. It makes it really, really easy to deal with stuff. Because when you're streaming or you're playing or you're performing or you're doing something, the last thing you want to do is take time and stop out of what you're doing to deal with a troll or someone who's just talking shit, being ridiculous. And then have to stop everything and be like, okay, let's deal with this and log in and go find them. Where's the chat? Clear the chat. Do all this crap. No. Boom. Mod tools. He takes care of it. So they're really improving that. And I love it. I love it. Absolutely love it. I think it's great. Another thing for streamers, Streamlabs OBS. If you use Streamlabs OBS, which is a great program, I use OBS to record this podcast even. It's great. You should use it if you're not. I used to be an XSplit user for many, many years. I have a lifetime license, but there was a time when XSplit was the king. It was the only one you could really use. And then this little program called OBS started to come. It was this open source, crowd supported. It's called Open Broadcaster Software is what it stands for. And, you know, it was beginning, early days. And I'm like, no. XSplit's where it's at. It's robust. I paid for this. It's good. Let's use it. Well, hey, you know, when you open the floodgates and you let the community take control of something like community supported open source, it's like when Valve released Source to the community. And what happened with that? It was massive. It was so good. Same thing with OBS. They released it to the community. It's open. People can support it. People can tweak it. People can do things with it. And now it is, I think, far superior to XSplit even today. And I'm on OBS and I'm never looking back. I think it's great. But they just released it for Mac. So if you're a Mac user and you're streaming or wanting to get into streaming, yeah, give it a whirl. Go check it out. Just a real quick one there. And then it's just a couple of stats before we move on to voicemails. A couple of stats about streaming. Just right now, a couple streaming news here in the tech section. Streaming, obviously, this people already know this shit, but streaming is up. Watch time is up and viewership is up. People are obviously home and they're watching. Just a couple stats. It's just FYI. Mixer saw a 15.9% gain, almost 16%. That's the largest that they've seen since they launched. YouTube's gaming stream saw a 10.7% boost. Facebook gaming saw a 3.8% increase. Twitch saw a 17% jump in total hours watched compared to the previous quarter. And a 19.5% leap in concurrent viewers. All right. The number of unique channels has jumped 33% over the past quarter. And while that total number of hours streamed have been declining just before all this, it actually was declining. It's now at a record high. 121 million hours watched this quarter. Viewership is going up because obviously there's more broadcasters, there's more people watching, and there's more channels. So no platform really is doing bad at all right now. They're all doing well. Even that modest 3% from Facebook Gaming. Think about it. In the grand scheme, that's shit tons of views. Tons of views. So everyone's streaming. And, you know, a lot of musicians are streaming too. A lot of musicians, the music category has skyrocketed. Because all of these musicians are home and they're like, our tours are canceled and their gigs are canceled. And so they're now taking to Twitch and Facebook and all these places to stream and play. And I honestly think it's great to see musicians get on the platform and finally see that it has some sort of value for their music and their creative endeavors. I just want to know why now. Because you're locked in because of COVID. Yeah. Okay. You got no money. Got no gigs. Got no tours. Do I really go here right now? I don't know if I necessarily want to. I mean, I do. I want to stir the pot. Should I get some drama going? It's just, let me tell you something. And everyone's like, here's the thing. Okay. So the article is this. Bands like whatever, this big artist, they decided to stream their performance and it's a complete clusterfuck. Some of these artists don't even know that they have a chat. They're like, oh, I can scroll through the chat. I didn't even know I could look at chat. I follow a guy named Kenny Beats on YouTube. I love watching the studio sessions he does. Somebody cheered him some bits and he went on this rant and yelled at this person for sending him bits. He didn't know what bits were. And he got offended. And he went crazy. Now, this is the producer, a tech guy, like similar to me. Like we were in the same, like, now I'm not saying like everyone should understand everything about the internet and streaming and Twitch. Dude, I'm on my 10th year doing this and I still am learning. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that, oh God, what am I saying? I see all this happening and I see these artists doing stuff now where because like, oh, I guess we have no other option. I guess we have to do it. I saw the value in streaming my shit back in the day in 2010 when I used to do Justin TV, Heine House Radio, when I used to stream my DJ sets, then my live drumming sets. And then all the copyright shit coming through. And I'm like, well, I don't want to risk losing my channel. So I stopped drumming. But then now all of a sudden it goes, boom, it skyrockets. Now everyone's doing it. And everyone's tuning in. They're up 20%. Musicians are like, yeah, look at us. We're online now. This is a really cool new thing. This is a cool new thing. No, it's not a cool new thing. It's been around. You just can, you make your bread elsewhere. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, it's just weird to me. I don't know. I'm not really sure how I feel about this. Because I see people talking like, wow, it's really cool. Like, I didn't know there was music and shit on here. Like, fuck are you talking about? Yes, of course there is. Not just, and go talk to any of your musician friends. It's not just like me here. Like, there's millions of other musicians and people that are super talented online doing this sort of thing. We've been here. We've been doing it. We've been in the trenches working, having a good time, building a community. Like, that's what it's always been about, is enjoying, creating, being creative, inspiring, building community, always. And it just blows me away. Just like, it's weird. It's like you work. Okay, here it is. You spend 10 years of your life working on something, all right, that, not that it doesn't gain traction, but it's difficult to gain traction, right? It's very niche almost, all right? It's very specific. You're building community, you're working hard. And then all of a sudden, something happens in the world and everyone then just begins doing it. It just blows up. And not that you just get pushed further down into the ground. It's just that, yeah, in a way, it kind of is a bit. It kind of is a little bit. You start to see that. And as more people do it, more people are spread out. That's the less traction you're going to get. Less viewership, less that. And I'm like, well, okay. You know, and I watched some of these streams. Like, I watched Dave Grohl do his acoustic guitar sets and stuff like that. I think they're great. I think they're fantastic. I love that guy. He's probably one of the only person who's still living and breathing rock. You know, God, rest in peace. We miss you, rock and roll music. It's great. But like, you see a lot of other stuff. Like, I watched my homie Questlove, who's one of my drumming heroes. I love Questlove. He does DJ sets now on YouTube. He just started doing DJ sets. You know what I mean? Like, he's streaming every day DJ sets, and he's there like trying to figure out this lighting, and like his dude is there like he's moving the lights around, and it's cool to see, but it's just like, wow. And he's streaming like 720p, you know, like they're figuring it out. And in a way, like, I wish I could help and give, like, I wish I could have been like the engineer to come in there and be like, let me help you with this camera. Let me help you with this. And believe me, I don't have it all figured out. I'm still learning. I'll be learning till the day I die. But it's like, I do have some experience here. I do have 10 years of fucking up. Let's just say that. I have 10 years of fucking up to understand like this or that. Okay, if this is happening, it's this. If this camera doesn't work or if that setting is wrong, it's this. If you want it to look like this, set it to this. Like, those are the things. And so anyway, I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with this. Like, I read that and I kind of started to like rant, and I was like, man, I don't want to rant about this. And Steph's like, hey, do what you need to do. And I'm like, you know what? Yeah. Okay. I will rant. I will. Cause it's kind of, I don't know. I actually don't have an end goal with this. I don't have an end. I just see it happening and I'm kind of like, yeah, exactly. Steph just said, because we don't know if it's for like their creative outlet or it's just for money. And we don't know. And again, I guess it's like, hey, everyone just, you know, make the money they can, you know, do what they can do. But it's kind of, I don't know. We've been here. We've been doing this, you know. And continue to. And I will continue to. You know, last night I did a stream from the studio. I set up the camera and I just went live and I was just in there chilling. People were hanging out. I was making music. In fact, I'll play the song at the end of this podcast. I'll play what I made last night just for the hell of it. It's nowhere complete. It's not mixed. It's not even done. I spent 5 hours on it, but it's cool. I'll play it. And that's what it's about. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know if any of that made sense to anybody. And last thing I want to do is cause drama and stir shit up. It's just, I don't know. People talk to, I mean, I hear a lot of people say, Jason, bring back the drum streams. You know, bring that back. And I kind of want to. I mean, I do. I pull out my turntables. I kind of want to set that up and maybe do some sets. And maybe, but, you know, it's like, yeah, fuck it. You know, it's like from the very beginning days, you know, we're doing it because it's fun. And it always has been fun for me. So, yeah, I don't know. We're going to jump into some voicemails. We've got some calls, and I appreciate everyone for doing so. I've got the little jingle here.
Hello? You've got voicemail.
That's right. You want to call the voice line? The voicemail hotline, 503-908-5490. That's the phone number. Get at me, because I would love to chat about any and everything. If you're home right now, you're on lockdown, you're quarantined, you're being safe, or even if you're at work, you're having to go in. Like, let's talk about it. You know, let me know what's going on, and would love to chat. I think we have an update from Chris here, up in Canada. Looks like he says here, yeah. Let's hit play on this one. Let's go, Chris. I appreciate you calling again. Thanks for checking in. Let's see what he's got to say. Once it loads, 1 year later. Here it goes.
Hey, Jason. This is Chris from Port St. John, BC again. Skewing away from games and tech for a second, I was just wondering what your thoughts were on the band Linkin Park and what you think their future will be. I remember you talking about being a fan of them back in the day on an old All-Gen Gamers episode or something. They're my favorite band. I've had the privilege of seeing them in Vancouver, BC in September 2012, and then at the Gorge in Washington in September 2014. They have one of my favorite albums, their 2010 album, A Thousand Suns. It's a really interesting fusion of genres, like a concept
it's a hybrid
album.
Yeah.
And it was really interesting, a lot different than their earlier nu metal stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's been interesting watching all the way up to One More Light in 2017, how their sounds changed, and with the tragic passing of Chester Bennington, they've been on hiatus since. And I'm wondering if you think they should pick up where they left off without him, get a new lead singer, keep the core bandmates without another new lead singer, or if you think they should just hang up their hat and work on different projects away from each other. And what you think of their artistic trajectory from 2000 to 2017. Anyways, still sick, thanks for answering. Have a good one, guys.
Hey, Chris, I appreciate the phone call. I am so happy to hear that you're feeling better. Still sick, but getting there. Thank you for checking in, and I appreciate that. And what a great question about Linkin Park. This is a good, great question because, hold on. We don't want to play that one. Not yet. Yeah, I'm a big fan of Linkin Park. I remember their first albums when they were coming out, and I actually really, really enjoy nu metal. I love that sound. In fact, the band that I was in for many, many years, our name was Rex Soul. We kind of have some sort of nu metal elements in some of our riffs and things like that. We take inspiration from bands like that, Seven Dust, Linkin Park, stuff like that. So yeah, man, great stuff. It's funny that you mention A Thousand Suns, because that album is honestly, other than their nu metal stuff, which to me, that's Linkin Park. I love Thousand Suns. I love the hybrid that they did there. I loved all the piano stuff. I loved the slow stuff. I loved the more like down-tempo stuff they were doing, the more ambient, experimental. Yeah, I completely agree. And I remember when that album came out. I remember when it came out, and I remember everyone shitting on it. Everyone shit on it. And I'm like, have you people been in a band before? You don't understand, like, as artists, we have to be creative beings. We have to express ourselves and we have to challenge ourselves. And if you just do one thing, the same thing over and over and over and over again your entire life, then it'll drive you mad. You can't do that. An artist loves to be challenged. It's like, I'm going to paint this today and I'm going to paint the same picture again tomorrow and the same picture and the same picture and the same picture. No, you keep challenging yourself to continue to evolve and expand. Same thing as a musician. Cool. They're new metal. Cool. Maybe they want to do pop. Cool. Maybe they want to do, like folk rock or something. Maybe they want to just experiment. Maybe they want to do like down-tempo chill electronica. Maybe they want to. And they did. And even though people shit on them, and I think from what I understand, listening to some of the interviews that the band had, there was an interview that I watched, and they were saying, this was before Chester passed, but I remember them saying that Chester was taking it really difficult. Like, he was taking it pretty hard. And I think that's really, really sad. And that causes so much pain and so much, it's so destructive for an artist, you know, it really is. And so sad that we lost him, you know. I love Linkin Park. They're great. I honestly, maybe every couple of months or something, I'll go back and I'll listen to their albums again. I just love it. I go through the whole gamut. Love it. So yeah, great band. Should they find a new lead singer, you ask? Should they continue on? That is very difficult. I think time is the only thing that will answer that question. It's like, you know, look at some of the bands from the 80s that have come back in recent times. Like Foreigner, I think it was Foreigner. And they've got, you know, they found, you know, a lead singer, they found some other musicians and they sound great and they tour and they do their thing. But it's like the original band is the original magic. You know what I mean? Doing their own individual projects. Absolutely. And dude, we've seen that. They've done that even in the past. They collaborated with Jay-Z, the Collision Course, and a bunch of other stuff, some solo projects. Yeah, man. Yeah, they should continue to write. They should continue to write, continue to play, because they're musicians, they're writers, and that's what they do. And I hope they continue to. I know Chester would want them to do that. Great question, Chris. Good to hear from you. Hope you're doing well. And keep in touch about it, okay? Appreciate that. Yeah, a little music question. Like it. Yeah, Linkin Park. Yeah, we get down on that. Get down on that Linkin Park. All right, let's hit them to another phone line here. Let's see. Who do we have here? What's going on?
Hey, Jason. It's your boy, Nathan, from Facebook. I wanted to get your thoughts about an article that I shared with you recently. Nerf is teaming up with 343 Industries to make Halo-themed Nerf blasters. Mm. And these blasters come with a download code to get a Nerf-colored weapon and Halo Infinite. So my question is, what do you think about cross-promotional DLC that makes you buy a physical product to get an in-game item? I think it can be pretty cool. I'm interested in buying the Nerf blasters, but I've also seen some pretty silly ones too, like one of the recent Final Fantasy games had you buy like a pack of ramen noodles to get an outfit DLC.
Oh, I remember that one, yeah.
I'd be interested to hear if you've ever bought anything in order to get DLC from it. Thanks, man. Hope you're doing well and have a good week.
Nathan, I appreciate the call. Thank you. Yes, I remember. I saw your question on Facebook and I'm like, bro, you got to ask this. This is a great question. Yes. I remember that one. I remember seeing Cloud or whatever. It was on the side of like this big ramen. It was like the spicy ones, wasn't it? It was like the bigger spicy ramen bowls or whatever. Yeah. Kind of weird, right? Like weird cross there. But yeah, no, I do see that happening. I'm actually okay with it as long as it doesn't either one, make it like
pay Jason, to win. Voicemail maniac. Mr. Cameron Johnson.
Hold on, Mr. Cameron, he's jumping the gun there, my man. We'll get you in a second, Cam. Yes, actually, as long as it doesn't have the pay to win element to it, like you get this OP like rifle or whatever that you get to use in game. If it's all cosmetic and it's a skin or just something ridiculous, yeah, that's no problem. And if it doesn't add any extra cost to you up front, like on top of the product, yeah, it's cool. It's cool, whatever. Like, it doesn't hurt anything. I don't think it's a bad deal. I think the Nerf Halo stuff, I think it's cool. I think it's great, in fact. Now, dare I say this and just upset the entire Nerf community? Mr. Nerf himself, Mr. Jason, Mr. Blaster Master, what? Gotta be honest. Boomco did it really, really well. Boomco is a company who makes blasters. Their darts are all plastic, rubber tipped, and they shoot great. And I think the build quality is, I don't want to say far superior, but it's superior to Nerf. It really is, man. The build of those blasters are great. Go even buy just the basic Boomco blaster and you'll see instantly. And they had the Halo license for several years. Steph and I, we bought quite a few. We bought the Needler and a bunch of other. They had the rifle. They had a dual pack with the pistols for Halo. Yeah, man, they're great. Absolutely great. So it's cool to see Nerf have that license now. They're going to exploit the shit out of it, and as they should. But here's the thing with Nerf. Nerf is kind of like the king of reskinning blasters. Now, I think Nerf community doesn't want to like admit this openly or whatever, but it's true. They basically just take the internals of like one of their blasters that's big, like what, I don't know, pick one. And then if it's like the size of like a pistol, then they're using all the internals for that pistol on like four or five or six different reskins of that blaster. It's the same blaster, different skin, different plastic, same blaster. That's kind of, I mean, what else are they supposed to do, right? I don't know, man, because Boomco does, I don't know, they do different shit. Like, what's that pistol we had, Steph? It's a switch. Yeah, it was a switchblade, or what's it called? She calls it the Whippet. Whiplash. Whip it good. Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, wait, what was it? Whiplash. The Whiplash. Go look that up online. Sure, it's, you load one dart in it. And yeah, one dart in it, and then it has a holder for two darts below it. But it has this round. Do we have it? Oh, I would love to show it if we do. They're all over the house. They're all scattered throughout. And what you do is you hold it here, right? You trigger, and then you pull the top of it down to prime it. You pull it down. It slides on this like wheel, and it primes, and then back up and locks in a place, and then shoots hard. It shoots really, really hard. But what's nice about it, and how they designed it, which is very forward-thinking and clever, is that you can use centrifugal force with one hand. You can pull a dart, pop it in, and then go down and up. Oh, nice. Nice. She's got it. Here it is. We'll show you right here, first time. So here it is. Isn't this great? Look at this thing. And it looks cool. It's very futuristic. It honestly looks like it belongs in Halo. It's got these that pop out. These here, they can, if a dart comes at you, and it hits here, it will stick onto this coating here. It attaches to darts. So when you're in a battle, someone's shooting you, you can try to block it with this and then grab their own darts and pop it in. Okay, so one dart in front and three down below. So here's the kicker with this though. Watch this, all right? So here we are. We have nothing chambered, right? Everything's done here. What you do is you put your middle finger on this part, pull this in, hold this in, and it unlocks it. And you see that it moves on this like gear, you can do this. And now, ready to go. So you can like pull out, boom, boom, boom. Isn't that sick? This is a little pistol. This is their most basic pistol that they make. And it's awesome. And they shoot great. We love them. I swear we've got darts around here somewhere. But they're great. So yeah. We love Boomco, to be honest. So yeah, no, I'm excited to see what Nerf does. Think it'll be great. But you were talking about, this is a long-winded question. I'm sorry. But hey, this is what you get when you ask, man. We go in. I don't know what you're talking about buying products that are cross-promoted for gaming things. I don't know what you're talking about, folks. I'm, for the people who aren't watching the video, I'm holding a bottle from, where's the ear? I don't think it has a ear. Of Mountain Dew Game Fuel, tropical flavor. It's all green and it's branded Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. And it has shrunk in on itself, the bottle. It's all fucked up. And I bought this to collect it because I love the Call of Duty series. And I really liked this flavor at the time. I kind of wish, maybe I should drink it. Should I open it up and drink it? No, Steph just almost threw up in her mouth. It has double XP under the cap. I wonder if I can still redeem that. Can I see it under here? I might be able to look under the cap. The liquid's so low now. But yeah, isn't this crazy? God, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? So yeah. Whoa, shit. I'm breaking shit. I'll deal with that later. Yeah, so I'm all for it. As long as it doesn't do any pay to win shit. You know what I mean? None of that pay to win stuff. We don't want any of that. But Nate, hey, I appreciate the question, man. Appreciate it. I hope you have a great, great rest of your day too. Thanks for being a part of the show. All right, let's jump into the voicemails here because I got Cameron. And he came in here a little early while I was throwing down on some stuff here. Let's see. Where are we going here? Play message. Let's give it another 10 minutes to load here. Yeah. Yeah, hit me up, folks. This is great. Love chatting with you guys. Appreciate you being a part of the show. All right, here we go.
Hey, what's up, Jason? Voicemail Maniac, Mr. Cameron Johnson here.
There he
Hope
is.
Hope you're doing well. So, you know, to kind of brighten the mood, I guess, I was kind of reminiscing about some of my favorite video game, I guess, holiday memories, either Christmas, Hanukkah, I don't know, some sort of birthday, holiday, whatever. I was thinking about the times when I got either a console, game, etc. So I'd like to hear what your favorite kind of special occasion gaming memories, whether you got like a Nintendo or anything, you know. I'll just relate a couple of mine. Probably my most favorite one is when I got my original black and white Game Boy. It was one of those things that was totally out of the blue, which is very unusual for my parents because they typically always asked what I wanted and I knew exactly what I was getting for whatever holiday it was. But I remember getting, that before a trip to my grandparents' house. I got, the Game Boy, and I got, Super Mario Land and of course, Tetris was in there, and boy, that was a great memory.
Both great games.
Also, my 3DO, which was another kind of, I guess, another Christmas present. And then, let's see, my other most kind of vivid one was when the Genesis came out. It was a pack-in, at least the one I had. It was Sonic 1 was packed in, but there was a rebate offer for Sonic 2. So I did the old-fashioned mail-in rebate thing.
Wow, yeah.
And I remember waiting for, God, it seemed like forever. And lo and behold, I was at swim practice one day. My mom said Sonic 2 came in the mail, and I was overjoyed. So
yeah,
big, big memory for me. So yeah, I'd love to hear yours. Keep up the good work per usual, sir. Sorry I'm long-winded, but, you know, that's just how I roll. And we'll talk again soon. Take care.
Thank you, Cameron. No, I appreciate that. Always appreciate your calls. Yeah, great question, too. And that's, you know, that's great. Talking about memories, about holidays, birthdays, what have you. I mean, yeah, I have stories for days, to be honest. And I could bore you all to death with the stories. I won't do that here. I'll just tell one and move on. But I mean, I actually, so my dad, and I've said this before, my dad has always filmed. He always had a video camera going. Pretty much all the time, like every Christmas morning, birthdays, parties, things like that. When we were kids, like it's crazy to look back. And I have a lot of these memories still on digital 8 and high 8 tapes. And I've been slowly trying to work. Actually, this is probably a good time that I'm home, maybe to continue to convert these over to digital to have them. But yeah, the camera was always rolling. So one memory we had is, and again, I don't know how my mom did it. She always somehow figured out how to get these consoles when they were so hard to get, so rare to get. I remember getting the N64, and that fortunately was recorded and is on my YouTube channel. You can go look it up. Just type in my name and N64 Christmas, and you'll see the video pop up. It's pretty amazing that we got it. My younger brother Kyle was there, and he was freaking out. And my older brother, who's 2 years older than me, he was there kind of like bah humbug, like, okay, go play, idiots. Go play your little thing. Get out of here. You know, like, it's just, that's the way he was at the time, you know, and we were all freaking out. And, you know, my mom, we opened it up, and Kyle, my brother, was like, what, how did you? And I was speechless. I'm like, because I was not expecting that to show up, because I knew how it was sold out everywhere. No one could get it. It was on the news, like, it's limited. No one can get it. The most anticipated gift of the year is the Nintendo 64, and it's sold out in stores, and you can't get it. And you got to, if you want to try to get it, wait in line to talk to somebody. And so I had given, I'm like, okay, we're not getting it. And it showed up. And you'll see, it's really funny that my mom, after we opened it up, and I'm sitting there like, oh, I'm literally sitting there, and my brother was like freaking out, and I'm sitting there like not moving in disbelief. My mom was like, I'm the shopper of the world. And, you know, as a young kid, I didn't really like understand, you know, everything that went involved with doing that, of getting it. So, you know, even today, she doesn't ever tell me. I even like, mom, okay, I'm an adult now. You can tell me. And she's like, I don't know. Santa must have brought it. You know, she just never says. She just never says. It's so funny. She was, yeah. I've always said she had to have screwed the mailman or do something. Something had to happen. Yeah, definitely the package was intercepted, if you know what I mean. Okay, so yeah, but good times. Merry Christmas to all. Merry Christmas. Shitter's full. So yeah, good times. Also remember many, many times going into Toys R Us and being a young kid, being short, right? Walking in the aisle where all the games were, like with the paper sleeves. I've talked about this maybe 100 times in my past, but you walk down that aisle and it seemed so large, so tall, full of just paper, you know, where the games are. It has a slip, and you look at the front, it has the cover of the game, and then you flip it up and it shows the back cover of the game. And then right below that is basically a plastic sleeve holding pieces of paper. It's basically a ticket. Take the ticket out, says the price on the game. You take it up to the front counter, redeem the ticket, and they go in the back and give you your game. You pay for the game and you leave. That's how Toys R Us used to do it, which was actually really smart because it kept people, like one person in the back just to get the games, and everyone else could just go pick up whatever game they wanted off the wall with a piece of paper. They didn't have to have the stock out. It could be in the back, secure, locked down. That's really smart. And I love doing that. Also, we did that the same way for RC cars. I would get an RC car all the time. I love those. I'm a big collector of them. Even today, I collect Tyco. I haven't for many years, but I have some of my older Tyco RC cars that I would get for birthdays. And it was kind of a tradition. Mint ice cream cake and an RC car. That was every birthday. That's what I got. That's what I did. That was what I wanted. A mint ice cream cake. Mint chocolate chip from Baskin Robbins ice cream cake and a RC car. So good times there. Great times. Cameron, thank you for the call. Thank you everyone for the call. Chris and Nathan for throwing down and being part of the show. 503-908-5490. That's the phone number. Hey, give us a call. Are you chilling? Are you at home? What are you doing? Hit me up. Let's talk. And come on by Twitch. Get in there. Let's party. I want to play a song, but before we do, another round of applause for the patrons you see right here on your screen. Thank you so much. That after party for main floor tier and above, y'all going to be getting it, getting it, getting it. 40 minutes of the Wii Box. The Wii Box. It's going to be great. Game Lofters, thank you. Brandon, George, Aaron, Weldon, Tammy, Sam, Luke, Ryan, and Justin. Y'all get that verbal shout out, yo, yo. Thank you. Appreciate you all. Yeah, let's jump in. Let's listen to some music. I got a little song to play. It's been a while. I got my, here we are. I got it in here. So I wrote this last night. We did it live. Song's not done, but it's kind of this 90s synthy, 80s funky, New York style drumming kind of hip hoppy thing. It's definitely my genre, my type of genre. This is kind of, this is how I write. This is what I do. Enjoy, folks. You have a wonderful rest of your day. Thank you for being here, and we'll see you on the next show. HeineHouse.com. See you later. Yeah, you see? Sometimes it's just about the groove, you know what I mean? It's just about how it feels, how it flows, how it grooves. That's how I do it. I come from a place where I've seen musicians completely just terrorize something, and I mean terrorize in a good way, like incredibly well played, like just amazing, amazing talent. Sometimes though, especially for like general simplicity, almost, I think 9 times out of 10 will win because of feeling, groove. Like that there, like you instantly know what you're getting into. You're like, okay, oh, we're doing this. We're going to dance. We're going to groove. We're going to get into this, you know? And the fucking drums are slamming. Like, it just feels good. It was a great tune. It was a great night. I recorded the whole thing. It's on Twitch, but I'm going to upload it to YouTube so you can watch. Scroll to like the 2 hour mark is when I start working on this one. Awesome shit. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being here. If you stuck around to the end, y'all are amazing. And we'll see you on the next episode. Bye now.